Thank you and good morning. It is indeed a privilege and a blessing to be here. Like most of y'all, I haven't been to church, in a sense, in a number of weeks. And so what a joy it is to get back with the body, in the sense of, you know, being able to see people and maybe not quite touch people yet, but at least we can see each other and be there for each other. And I'm glad that they told me this was because of the shade. Y'all were way out there and I was way over here. I thought, is this some of that social distancing kind of thing here? But no, thank you. It is. The Lord has a nice breeze for us this morning, and we thank Him and praise Him for that. I'm going to be reading for our call to worship. I'm going to read the first few verses of Psalm 18. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Amen. The Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Father God, indeed it is just such a privilege to be here together, to be able to worship you, Lord. We pray that the power and presence of your Holy Spirit would be at work in and through us. Lord, that you would provide encouragement and strength and challenge and conviction where those are necessary. Father God, we just commit this worship service to you. Again, we give you the thanks and the praise for it. You alone deserve it. And Father, we do also want to offer up the prayer that you gave us, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good. Well, remain standing for the Apostles' Creed as we recite that together. Christians, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Good. I don't have one of those little things that says stand up or sit down, but I guess we can sit down for our first hymn and our only hymn. Is that correct? And with just one verse. So it's a hymn I think we're all pretty familiar with. I was singing it on the way up. And I'm going to step back a little bit because I can speak okay, but my wife tells me my singing voice is not all that great to listen to. But we'll sing Victory in Jesus. I heard an old story about a Savior came from glory. how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning and his precious blood's atoning, and I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. We have a pastoral prayer. Just time when we'll pray together. I'll pray, but corporately we'll pray in our minds and hearts. And again, commit ourselves and our time to the Lord and ask for His blessing on it. And also bring Him any needs and requests that we have. So if you'd bow your heads and your hearts with me. Father God, we just want to give you thanks and praise again. And Lord, again, it is a blessed opportunity for us to be together. I pray that our worship given to you would be just a sweet aroma lifted up. Father, that it would be a blessing to you and that you would bless us as well. And Father, it has, as we all know, been a difficult, strange time. Father, I pray that we would be reminded this morning that you are indeed in absolute control. You are sovereign over all things. And Father God, I pray that you, as always, would be the one who meets our needs. No matter what issues each of us might be going through, Lord, I pray that you would meet needs, whether those needs be emotional or relational, or physical, Father, whether they be spiritual needs. Lord, we commit those things to you, and we ask that, again, you would do what you alone can do, and that is meet those needs in such a way that it helps to conform us into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that brings you glory. So we just want to commit this time again to you, Lord, and ask that your Holy Spirit would really be at work. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me this morning. Help me not to get in the way of your word of truth, but pray that it would go forth loud and clear, that hearts and lives would be touched and encouraged. So we give you thanks and praise, Father, and we lift this prayer up to you in the name of your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you happen to bring your Bible, or you have your phone, or you have a Bible on your phone, I'm going to be preaching from just one verse today, and that verse is Romans 8:28. And this might be a verse that you are quite familiar with. I think most of us probably are. There are verses in the Bible that we might call promise verses or something like that. And this is definitely one of the ones that I like to hang on to. It's a powerful verse, and it just really speaks to the heart. So it goes both ways. When the so-called circumstances of life are kind of going well and everything seems to be fine, then I would look at this verse as a courage verse. It pushes me really to step out in obedience to God's leading and direction in my life. And when the circumstances of life are not going so well, I call this a cling to verse. It's like a life preserver of truth. And something I like to say to myself, or used to say to my son a lot as well, is when it gets rough, you know, the rougher it gets, the tighter you grip. And lately, and I'm sure you all have too, this is a verse I've really been gripping. So that verse again is Romans 8:28, and I'll read it for you. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So this verse is really kind of surrounded by two key attributes of God. There is the overarching attribute of God's sovereignty. But there's also the underlying attribute here of God's security. So God's sovereignty and God's security really surround this verse. And God's sovereignty is His total, absolute control over all things, without limitation, without qualification, and without condition. So God is not, as I once heard Him described or read an article where He was described as sort of a cosmic juggler. And the article was trying to discern, why do bad things happen? And the solution that the writer came up with was, well, God's juggling so many things, He's certainly going to drop something once in a while. Yeah, pretty ridiculous. God doesn't drop the ball. He doesn't forget. He doesn't get busy. He doesn't need to be reminded. He doesn't lose focus on His children. And God's sovereignty is really so much more than sometimes how we word it, that He just knows what will happen. It's so much greater and bigger than that. It is His divine decrees, His foreknowledge, His predetermined plan in the accomplishing of His purpose. And the overarching truth of God's sovereignty, as I mentioned, brings with it that undergirding truth of God's security. That is the eternal security of the believer. And I just want to take this verse and kind of break it down in four parts. We'll look at it briefly. And it just breaks down easy. And we know, will be part one, that in all things, two, God works for the good, three, of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose, the fourth part. So, first of all, and we know, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, here in Romans 8:28, and of course throughout Scripture as well, is something that we can know. We can know with certainty. We can know with surety. We can know with confidence. This is like the old, hey, you can take that to the bank. You can count on this. So aside from the phrase COVID-19, the word that I have heard over and over the past couple of months has been uncertainty. Uncertain times, uncertain circumstances, uncertain outcomes. Well, Romans 8:28 is God's revealed truth based on God's nature, God's character, and God's attributes. So there is no maybe, there is no might, there is no could be or I wish, there is no uncertainty. This is, I know, I'm certain. Well, what am I certain of? I am certain that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. I am certain that in all things, God works for good. And in the same way that certainty is based on God's sovereignty, all things is based on His sovereignty as well. So that means all things is all things. It's not some things or a few things or many things or even most things. It's all things. And it's not just all good things or all bad things. It's all things. Big things, small things, significant or seemingly insignificant things, good things, bad things, right things, wrong things, painful things, pleasurable things. All things are by the hand of God. And in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and are called. That word here, which we get our word from, the word that we get it from is synergy. The Greek word is synergero, a divine working together of all things, an orchestration, so to speak. And as I mentioned, it's not God works in all the good things, or God works all things for good. In all things, God works for the good of those who love and those who are called. All things includes the most recent circumstances that we find ourselves in, with the whole coronavirus issue and everything that's related to that. And all things must also be defined and viewed in light of the sovereignty of God. So listen, we diminish God's sovereign hand if we begin to say God will simply use what happened. It's not that easy. God doesn't say, oh, what a tragic event. I'll find a way to work some good out of it. That's not His sovereignty. If the circumstances which bring about a trial or a tragedy are outside of God's sovereign plan, then it is no longer a sovereign plan. Okay, let me say that again. If the circumstances which bring about a trial or tragedy or difficulty are outside of God's sovereign plan, then it is no longer a sovereign plan nor a sovereign God. And why should I believe that a God who is less than sovereign will be able to bring good out of what He could not control in the first place? So here, of course, we must hold to the whole of God's revealed truth. Because while God is sovereign over sin, over trials, over tribulations, He is not the author of those things. And because sin and pain and suffering work for my good, that doesn't mean that sin and pain and suffering are good. So I can't claim to perfectly understand the magnitude and the intricacies of the sovereignty of God. Who can? But I can claim the promise of Romans 8:28. And what is our good? Well, simply put, it is our transformation into the likeness of Christ. Whatever it takes to transform us into the likeness of Christ. And while God is sovereign over all things and all humanity, His promise here is reserved for believers. Again, it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So those who love God are those who have been called, and those who have been called are those who love God. That's His effectual calling. So there's a saying I've seen on church signs and other places. It says, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Simple, but true. There's many things I don't know. And many things I can't control. Probably most of us have learned that lesson lately. But here's what I do know. I know that in all things God is sovereign. He is divinely orchestrating the circumstances of life in accordance with His preordained and perfect plan. And a part of that plan is my transformation into Christ's likeness, a molding which takes place now, but will be made perfectly complete in glory. So, amen. Let me close in prayer. Father, thank You again for Your word of truth. Lord, this is a verse I'm sure all of us have read many times over, but I pray that You would impress it upon our hearts and minds, Lord, that no matter what the circumstance of life, you are sovereign. You are in absolute control, and you are using it for our good to transform us more and more and more into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. We're not passing the collection plate, I've been told. There are 2 5-gallon buckets over here. I think that's what those are. They're not for trash. They're for when you leave, when you depart, if you'd like to drop your offering in either one of those buckets there. But I'm going to go ahead and pray for the offering that we may bring glory to God through it. Father, again, we do come before you and give you thanks. And Lord, we ask that you would use the tithes and offerings, all that we have and all that we are, is by your hand, Lord. So I pray that you would use the gifts that we are returning to you to continue to build and build not only the church here at Lebanon and in this community, but really your kingdom, your eternal kingdom. So we commit that offering to you, and we pray over it in Christ's name. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now receive this benediction from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.